This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
It's not just something you made. It's the privilege that you get to work with your hands. It's building something that serves a purpose. Proof that you have the grit to keep going. At Timberland, we understand you take your craft seriously, and we do too, which is why our products are built to the highest quality. We put in the work so you can perfect yours, with purpose in every detail and crafted with intention. Timberland, built on craft. Visit Timberland.com to shop.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome to the Antler Up podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. Tethered is a team of saddle hunting fanatics with a passionate addiction to whitetail hunting. Designing and engineering products to be a more efficient and confident hunter, Tethered produces the most mobile, stealthy, and safest elevated hunting gear on the planet. Built by saddle hunters for the saddle hunter. Head over to tethernation.com to see for yourself what exactly I'm talking about. At Antler Up, we know that quality gear can make or break your hunt, and that's why we're excited to partner with Huntworth Gear. If you're looking for premium gear without the premium price tag, Huntworth has you covered. And new for 2024, the Vertec pattern is a dynamic woodland camo pattern blending perfectly into any environment, whether you're stalking in the early season or hunkering down in the late season. From lightweight options for those warm September days to insulated gear that will keep you warm during the harshest winter conditions, Huntworth has you covered for everything you need all year long. Gear up right now and head over to huntworthgear.com to check out their full lineup. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I'm joined. Finally have a guest on the podcast. So if you're sick of listening to my dumb ass on doing solo episodes, I'm finally joined by another character. And I got Tim Cisak. I got one of my best friends on the other line. And we're going to catch up a little bit here. So you might hear a little good little banter between us and see what's going on and catching up with new in Tim's world and everything along those lines. But Tim, man, how the hell are you, dude? Welcome back.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Dude,
good to catch up with you. Life's busy, so it's nice that we can have this time to just catch up and dig into each other's lives a little bit.
I know, man. Like Jim always says, you guys are out there keeping Antler up afloat, just working, and I'm at home waking up early, working out, doing... Just wait until school, wait until my grind begins back up here in the next couple of weeks. But dude, you're hanging out at our favorite place right now. You're at AU camp, dude. That's awesome. I wish I was there.
Yeah. I was saying before, Josh is an animal, man. He is completely the guy doesn't stop, man. Every time I'm here, there's all the work is like done. And I'm like, there's nothing to do. Josh did it all. Mm-hmm. So he has the kitchen just about back together now. So definitely going to help him this weekend, but he's an animal. Days off and he's spending it up here working. So he's really making the place feel like home.
I know, dude. It was like a couple weeks ago when I talked to him on the phone, I said, hey, I was like, if you know, like in a couple days, like if you give me like a 2 to 3 day window, knowing you'll be up there, please let me know. I could try to work something out for sure. He's like, all right. And next thing you know, like those days go by, and he's like, yep, I was just up at camp, got all this done, guys. I was like, what? You know what I mean? You're just like, dude, I said I would help.
I know. He does the same thing to me. He just sends photos, and I'm like, I'm a half hour away from here. What are you doing?
I know, man. So, dude, what else is new other than working and all that good stuff?
Yeah, work's keeping me busy. It's obviously golf season. I'm playing hockey 2 nights a week, so I got quite a bit on my plate. You know, just trying to stay active and you know, just personal obligations too that keep things busy. And since hearing your last solo cast, you got me motivated to start putting some work into the woods now because I haven't really stepped foot since turkey season. I really didn't hunt much in Pennsylvania, so. I don't think I've been in the woods since like early May.
Yeah, dude. Since our little turkey camp, I mean, you went out a couple more days with Josh and everything like that. I didn't get out another time for turkey. So it was kind of a bust for me as well. So I didn't get out much. And that's why I kind of was like sitting here, you know, you're thinking like, oh, teacher schedule, you have more time and doing stuff, but it's like, it fills up quick with family stuff and running Nora around. I mean, you know, during the school year, she does the dance stuff. And then during the summer now she's in a play. So she has practice a lot. And so that takes up like the evening time slot. And of course it's like right when baby, like pickup time is right when baby goes down for bed basically. So it's like, oh, I can't be running around like an asshole and staying over places. So I have to be there strategically planned. And that's what I ended up doing last week. I kind of had that, okay, hey, once I get home, I'm going to just grab my stuff and go. And cause I had like that morning, it looked kind of cool enough to beat the crazy heat before the 4th of July weekend type stuff. So that's why I got out there for that quick piece, just a couple hours basically. But, yeah, it's like kind of like one of those things where this time in years past, I would have to do a lot of my scouting now just because of like coaching. And obviously with the past couple of years, I've done a better job, but then of course the baby happened. So now it's like, I'm back to square one of going back and spending more time in the summer months to prepare for like, what will that area look like? And depending on those old historical data info and all that jazz. And, you know, it makes it fun because it's like that challenge again, a little bit, you know what I mean? And hopefully,
right.
Hopefully you make that right decision when hunting season rolls around. But dude, how about the old, Sunday hunting thing going on in PA? I just like when you and I were just saying, that's going to make camp a hell of a lot more fun. You know what I mean? Like instead of going in and I told Jim the other day, I said, Heck, even like for us, I mean, obviously those Fridays are going to be going in. Like we could still do Friday nights, but I mean, if someone has obligation,
it's an extra day.
Yeah, it's just that extra day. Like instead of doing those one nights and or two nights or whatever it is, like now you have that extra day, whether we want to go try public land around us and all that stuff. It's just, dude, for guys that I've been saying it for forever. For someone like that works at that Monday through Friday and has limited time, like that can't even take PTO like I can't. Do you know what I mean? Like I don't have that capability, mm-hmm. So I always had to be strategic about stuff. Man, this just opens up so many more little opportunities, even if they're not all day hunts, just extra opportunities that I'm excited for.
Yeah, I honestly didn't think I'd see it in my lifetime. Now it's hard to say how they'll implement it, how fast they'll implement and how much, but you know, I'm on the other side of it too. Like my position at my firm, you know, I have flexibility that most people don't. So I always found myself, if I really wanted to hunt Sunday, I was taking advantage of, you know, the surrounding states, ideally like New York, mm-hmm. you know, be able to get a full weekend up there by hunting Saturday and Sunday up there. But yeah, but somebody like yourself where, yeah, you are a weekend warrior and having that extra day, I think that's super important. I hope the Game Commission kind of just, you know, makes the right decisions. I think Pennsylvania as a state, we are experiencing some of the best deer hunting that we have in the last probably two decades. And we're experiencing the best quality of deer ever.
Yeah,
in this state. So, you know, I get a little bit concerned with this extended firearm season. There is some concern of mine just with Sunday hunting, just because, you know, you're obviously going to increase harvest by increasing harvest days. Mm-hmm. So making sure that whatever they do in terms of, you know, managing the population, I hope they just do it the right way. Now, you know, this is just my own speculation, but I don't foresee them just opening up the floodgates and saying, yeah, every Sunday is open. I could see them rolling it out in some sort of fashion where it increases year by year.
Yeah.
But and maybe certain seasons are, you know, maybe you are able to hunt bear every Sunday that bear season's in, you know, but maybe they move it to archery, but they don't do it in rifle for deer season or something. Like I could see them trying to roll this out in a phased way where it isn't impacting the population drastically all at once.
Yeah. I agree with you. And I think the whole, what I even was speculating, man, they might have some sort of game plan already, just because I feel like they've seen the writing on the wall, and I'm sure there's some insider information where they're like, yeah, Shapiro's going to sign this. We just got to continually hammer home, and if we do, this could be the steps we're going to take. And with that, I think I agree with you. I think there's going to try to maybe do it in phases, and I think also the special firearm seasons, like the muzzleloader season, like those ones that you see in October, I feel like they're going to just leave those that for those days. I don't think they'll touch those on a Sunday and say something along the lines of like, that Sunday is a bow only type of ordeal. Or maybe not at all. Like maybe just keep it the same way. And that we can, I don't know. I just feel like it might be a little bit tricky if they do like this weekend, you can, this weekend, you can't, this weekend, you can, this weekend, you can't. So I agree with you. I feel like they'll have some sort of like, hey, in the month of October, it is bow only on Sunday. You know what I mean? Right. Just to make it black and white, simple for everybody. In the month of November, we're keeping the same Sundays, except that first one, you'll be able to actually maybe hunt instead of like waiting mm-hmm. until whatever that date was. Like you can continue from your October to that first weekend in November and so forth.
Right.
Yeah, but
yeah, I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think there are definitely some good outcomes that come from it too. Despite adding these additional days where people, obviously the percentage of success rate is going to go up because people are going to have more time to hunt. Mm-hmm. And more time in the woods leads to more opportunities, which leads to more punch tags. So I can see that happening, but I also see people that may have taken the approach of, I don't have a lot of time out here, I'm shooting the first thing I see, now could trigger, I got double the amount of time I have out here. I might be a little bit more picky on what type of deer I'm going to harvest. And that too could increase, you know, the level of young bucks that are making it to an older age.
Right.
So I could see some good stuff coming out of there too, that people aren't getting trigger happy because they got 1 day to hunt or 2 days to hunt and that's it. You know, that 2 days now becomes 4 or 5 days.
Right. Why do you think the last two decades, do you think we've definitely have done a better job of that deer population? Like you said, some of our best whitetail hunting has been these last, you know, 20 years since we were kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, what, obviously, I mean, for me, I think that antler restriction played a role. What else do you think has played a role?
Yeah, I think that's the root of it. I think what the biologist did was, and I think it, correct, I might not be right here, but I think the biologist was actually a professional in bear biology too, which did a lot for the state. But they essentially knocked down that population 20 years ago. It was like the early 2000s, 2001, 2002, somewhere in there. And I remember that was right around the time, like I was 12, 13. Like that was right around the time my dad actually gave it up, because you were in the woods and you weren't seeing deer. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole thing, was to get those terrible genetics out of there. So they pretty much killed off 90% of the herd throughout most of the state over those couple of years, where they opened up doe and buck, no antler restriction. It was just a free for all for archery and for the 2 weeks of rifle season for maybe 3 years, 4 years. And then all of a sudden it was, pretty much wiping out those genetics, and then boom, here comes the antler restriction. So as these new generations of deer now are hitting the antler restriction, you know, for 2 or 3 years, the buck harvest was down because most of your deer were a year and a half, 2.5 years old, and they weren't legal.
Right.
So they started getting to 3 years old, 4 years old, and even 5 years old. And now they're the ones that are breeding the does. And all this took place over a decade, you know, so now you have your more mature bucks breeding does, which is now leading to better genetics and healthier deer, et cetera. And those antler restrictions being in place indefinitely just yielded a better quality herd and obviously more mature bucks. And I think after that decade of people seeing what the result has been, you know, people really started to, what, this was also when cameras were getting big and everything else. And it's like, holy crap, look at the size of the deer in this area.
Right.
And people started becoming picky, or let's say hunting more trophy quality animals. And, I think when that kind of gets infected throughout the mentality of the hunters throughout the state, that, you know, you see what the results are now 15, 20 years later.
Right. Yeah. I couldn't agree more with what you said. And I think for someone that is as knowledgeable about this topic, I mean, I think that does go a long way. And I think your voice brings a lot to that. But I also think, going back to what you said about individuals that could be now a little bit pickier too, that could be having that extra day to kind of like jump back to that. I mean, that's what I even think I said to you, I don't know if you remember, or I know I said it to Jim and Josh too, is the fact that, like, you know, next year I want to be with the bow a little bit pickier because of like having camp and the experience that we had of how much fun we had, like with the gun in our hands, where, like, you know, like I feel like, you know, we can be a little bit pickier now with the bow in our hand, and then come rifle season, that maybe that second day, third day, you know, if whatever tickles the fancy, that you want to have a cool shot opportunity, whatever, with the gun, like, let it rip. But like that is, going in without knowing Sunday hunting was going to be such a thing, and knowing now that that is, man, that just broadens that horizon for individuals that maybe had a goal of, you know what, I want to really push myself and try for like a bigger deer or more mature deer or just something that like could give yourself more of a challenge type of ordeal. So that's, I like that point of view, what you said of that as well.
Yeah. I also think with the expanded opportunities, you know, with the crossbows being legalized and more people crossbow hunting, it's actually rifle season is not that, at least through my experience, the last few years of the times that I've even been with people or I've had a tag myself in rifle season, like it's not like it used to be. Mm-hmm. Like there's not just deer running everywhere, mass amounts of pressure, because a lot of these people aren't hunting rifle. Like, you know, they've taken a deer with the bow or the crossbow, or they do have opportunities to go, you know, later on in the season or whatever. So you're not seeing the 30, 40 vehicles parked along the game lands road as much anymore. And like the deer the buck that I shot in rifle season up here on the camp property, like that deer was calm and cool as collective, just kind of doing his own thing. He was checking the bedding area that my blind is set up over top of. Like he felt zero pressure.
Yeah.
And a lot of the deer that I saw the day before, which was opening day, like it was the same thing. Like I didn't feel like the deer were just pressured, just, you know, running all over the place, not knowing where to go. And the same thing goes with just hearing overall shooting. Like you don't hear the 50, 60 shots in a morning that you would typically hear. Like you're hearing 10.
Yeah.
You know? Man. So I think it has a lot. I think the quality of the hunt has gotten better over the years with everything that's going on. We just got to maintain the herd population. So I just hope that they make the right decisions in order to do that.
Yeah.
Because the harvest is going to go up.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. The one last thing I want to say about that is man, you're so right about the gun hunting thing, because I remember as a kid, just a boom, 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 even up at the club. Like, so that's, you know, private land, hunting with my dad, the mountain. And, you know, there, it would be quiet and you would hear a couple of shots here and there because the push, you know, people doing the drives and doing some pushes and all that stuff. And it didn't happen until a certain day during the season. And you'd go up there and you would sit till 9:30, 10 o'clock. And then that's when the guys would start doing their drives. For especially us, like the young guys. But man, the last couple of years when I would have a buck tag still in my pocket a couple of years ago with going up there with my dad, I hated it, Tim, just because it was dead silent. You wouldn't hear a friggin' shot. You would hear it over way on another piece of property. But I mean, you would hear maybe one on our property. Mm-hmm. And then like next thing you know, like my dad would message like Ronnie, like, hey, who was that? Ronnie might be like, oh, it was so-and-so's kid. So it ended up being, you know, especially too, if it was like close to my dad and I were like holding our breath. It wasn't one that we were chasing during archery season or something like that. You're just like hoping. And then it's like,
right,
you know, I'm like, nope, it was just like a little 7-point or a decent small 8-point or something along those lines. And so-and-so's kid shot, and you're like, oh, all right, cool, good. And then, and then like, yeah, at the end of the year, you get the report and there's only three or four bucks taken during rifle. And then there's like three or four during archery season. You're like, where the hell are people at anymore? You know what I mean? Like you said, like the quality of the hunt, as far as like what you could potentially see has gone straight up. But sometimes, man, like you're like, you got all that land and no one's like, you gotta be, it makes it fun. Cause then you really got to find it because those deer don't have to travel far.
Yeah. And I think in those situations, you still have to be cognizant of how you're treating your area. Mm-hmm. Because the people not being in the woods is meaning that the deer aren't getting pushed around. So, you know, if you let your guard down in the way you're approaching your stand or whatever, and you boot deer out of there, like there's a good chance they just bounce over the next one and find a hole laying for the rest of the daylight.
Correct.
You know, it's not like they're going to bounce over into some other hunting group who's now going to, you know, bounce them back another way. And then all of a sudden it's this free for all of deer getting pushed around all day. That doesn't seem to happen anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So, oh man, I just, last year that our weekend up there for rifle was just so fun. I'm definitely taking, I might have the flu that week for us to get together. that was just so much fun. Oh my gosh. But yeah, man, like, so you were just saying, like, you listened to last week's episode, fired you up to get going and do a little bit more. You haven't really been out since turkey season. And, usually by this point in time, now, granted, you did do a hell of a spring little hunting trip, and that was phenomenal, getting the Grand Slam all in one season for turkey hunting and everything. What's on the docket for this year? Cause I feel like at this point in time, in the year, you kind of have a map of what you're thinking about doing as far as like where, and I don't want to say when, but you're like, I feel like you obviously have some type of outline of what you want to maybe try to accomplish as far as maybe states and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it. And actually right now I do have an Idaho deer tag that I ended up getting back in December. I pulled a good number on the lottery. So I do have a unit to go out there, and that's a rifle hunt through the first 2 weeks, I think, of October.
Nice.
So I'm considering doing it. But I'm also on the fence about doing it too. It all depends on just where, life is and career and everything else. So, but I do have that in my back pocket if I do want to do it. So that's an area I never hunted before. I don't think it's going to be a monster mule deer quality hunt, but, you know, it would be a good, it would be a decent hunt for Idaho. I just like that state. So I do have that one. I did put in, so the second round of applications for leftover tags came out for Colorado. So I ended up putting in application for archery mule deer tags for Colorado. So I don't expect to pull one. They go to the, so what Colorado does on the second draw is priority goes to any youth hunter.
Okay.
Before, so basically they go through all the youth applications, and whatever the youth applications yield in terms of tags, then whatever's left will get, you know, lottery drawn for the adults. So, archery mule deer is probably not that many youth people that are going to be out there chasing mule deer with archery gear, I would think, that are non-residents. So there's a slight chance that one or two of the units that I have picked, I may enter a lottery, maybe get lucky. But if that doesn't happen, I do have one of my buddies from my hockey team actually goes out to Colorado every year for elk. So it's likely there'll be a archery leftover elk tag sitting for that unit. So I have that option to go out there probably. And even if there is no tags left, I have the option to kind of tag along and call for him and some of the other guys that go. But they shot an absolute giant out there last year, 6x7 on public land. One of my teammates did just an absolute stud, like 340 bull on public land. So, you know, that one's sitting there for September if I wanted to. But like you were saying, like with camp and the opportunities that you have through rifle season now, I don't want to say I feel like in the last 7-8 years of my life, I never really felt pressured anymore. I feel like in your 20s, I felt pressured to like, oh, I got to shoot a buck and I want to shoot a buck with the bow. And I don't really feel that anymore. Like, I feel like I enjoy life in different aspects. And I don't feel the urge to have to shoot a buck with the bow here. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay carrying that buck tag into rifle season. Cause again, like you said, it's the whole experience of deer camp and having a buck tag and, you know, being able to just enjoy that with each other. And, so I definitely want to do whitetail archery somewhere that late October, early November timeframe. So if that's going to be a close state or a far away state, I'm not sure yet. I'm going to keep bugging Josh to want to do it as well. So yeah. I just keep throwing states at him and see how his eyes light up to see if he's interested. Cause I know he went to Oklahoma last year. And he considered going back, but apparently the license is kind of ridiculous cost.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's like $500 or something. Something stupid.
It is pretty wild. I mean, when you look at it at that price, you're like, that's the same as Iowa. You know what I mean? Like, or, like, I know Iowa might be a little bit more, but like, it's, you're on par with that. When, I don't know, just, dude, man, I'm not opposed to going to Ohio a couple times.
I would love that, actually. Like, just go get an Airbnb or something and do a couple days. I'd be all for that. Cause that's probably my favorite time frame is like October 25th through like November 5th.
Yeah.
Like anywhere in there, I would love to find myself elsewhere, where you don't really know it's going to walk by your stand.
Right.
You know, and then give the rest of now that I do have one other area that I put a lot of time into the last 3 years here in Pennsylvania. And there's been good bucks in there every single year. I just haven't pulled the trigger on one yet. But that area, I plan to still, you know, get my cameras in there at some point and, you know, try and find a good one that I could chase with the bow. And if it happens, it happens. But if not, then I'm cool with bringing it to rifle season. Same thing here. Mm-hmm. You know, we already have some up-and-coming shooter bucks here. So I'm sure we'll chase them a little bit with the bow. And if it all comes together, then great. But if not, I'm okay carrying the firearm around too.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, it's kind of like the beauty of camp, it being close to the mountain. It's like you could hop around and being close to public. We almost have, you know, two to three different locations all within our area. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's a matter of like, okay, like, we might be able to, let's see what happens here at camp. And if we feel like, you know, it's not the time, we could still all be at camp and then go try somewhere else and do public or whatever. We could still do that. But, and like you said, even going somewhere, and man, it's so funny because that's exactly where I'm at for myself with the club is that time frame. What you were just saying is that I would say probably that November time frame, not the October, because I usually do go in and I usually have some pretty good hunts, but like that early November and everything like that. The last couple of years I've been in Ohio, and you know, my dad, the day I shot my buck in Ohio last year was insane. The like that day before and the day after at the club was just insane. And it's like, oh man, I really would like to have an opportunity of like chaos around there again. You know what I mean? Of being in that, because I mean, you see the deer, they're good quality deer, mountain bucks. And you're like, dang, I want to get a test at that. And with Albert, Albert is they're expecting another child, like either that end of October or like early November. I think it's early November. And so he's like, well, she's been early the last couple of times. So he's like, I'm expecting this one to be early, so we could still go out. I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, I'd well, let's just play that one by ear, dude. Let's either go earlier, we could go later, like whatever you want to do. Like, I know he's still gonna go, but it's, I told him, I'm like, you let me know when we're going. You just tell me when.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of anticipating being around at the club for the last couple dates that I've missed the last couple years. So I'm anxious to see, because like, you know, I think this year will be mainly PA if we get a chance to do like what we just said, an Ohio hunt for sure. But I think that's all I have on the docket for right now. I kind of want to, you know, like I said last week in that solo episode, I mean, dude, there was, I mean, one hunt up at camp where I did not see a deer. I mean, granted, sometimes it was only one deer or two deer or something like that. But like, you know, it's cool to see what we're doing. And now having that Sunday, it just offers another day of somewhere around that area. So like, I think we should do like a weekend of camp and then go scout public land together. Like two, like we go in like two teams, like just go, like two of us go somewhere and the other two of us go another. And we just like branch out and go scout some of that, that public nearby, just to, just so we have some extra little like know abouts basically.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah. So, I mean, my schedule overall, you know, something out west is kind of up in the air right now. But something might come together, but definitely for whitetail this year, I definitely want to find myself elsewhere in that time frame, and then just hunt those days back here in PA that, you know, I could work around it, a work schedule and everything else. So,
yeah. And then Tom has what? Tom has the elk tag.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Tom's going on his elk hunt. I think that's mid to late September. And I know he's going to shoot a bull out there. So
yeah,
we'll have to fit that in and celebrate that when he gets back. God,
I know. As soon as he comes back, we're definitely going to celebrate him with that, man. I hope this is it for him. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be.
Yeah. How do you feel about going into this year?
I feel good. I mean, physically, I feel great. I think physically, I'm probably in the best shape that I've been in the last 15 years of my life.
Hell yeah.
Mentally, I think we go through ebbs and flows. At least I do. And I think it's all based on, you know, what you have going on in your life, what could have happened, you know, life events that do happen, good or bad. And I have these ebbs and flows of how jacked up I get about hunting season. And I felt like I started to find that again with turkey season,
mm-hmm.
Where I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go and jump into this and try and do this. Insane accomplishment. And I think it fired something up in me that like I've missed the last few years, just because of stuff in life, but also just the turkey hunting experience that PA in my area offered, just due to the fact that the population wasn't super great, still isn't super great. So I think the same thing is happening with like deer season. Like there's, you know, last year I really didn't hunt that much. You know, I did carry my tag into rifle season and ended up shooting that real nice buck. But this year I'm like ready. Like he's had me out shooting the bow at some of these shoots and like, you know, just listening to you talk, I'm like, man, I gotta try. It's funny how you just, when you try to be motivated and disciplined and determined, like you try and fill your schedule from sunup to sundown of something, right? And this is how we all stay busy. Or you could just be that person that just does nothing, which, you know, to each their own. That's just not me. But I just need, like, I see myself now telling myself, like, I got to integrate. I do all these things throughout the day. Like, you know, I go to work and I have all these other extracurricular activities and the gym and, you know, cooking food and all this. And it's like, how do I integrate my time and dedicate it to the things that I need to do to prepare for the season so that the season doesn't come around and I'm not motivated to go hunt because I feel like my homework hasn't been done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what happened to me last year because I didn't do much in regards to homework at all. Like I wasn't scouting new areas. I didn't really get cameras out in the woods until a couple of weeks before the season. So I think mentally through these ebbs and flows that I have regarding hunting, I think I'm at a high point where I am motivated to kind of rededicate my time and effort back into it, and get out of it what some of my expectations would be.
Right.
So I'm excited about that part of it.
Hell yeah, dude. And like the other thing about that is like for me, what I've learned is something's better than nothing. And so even if it's only a few minutes, you know what I mean? Like you were saying of the gym and doing golfing and doing the hockey, you know, so that you're busy. It's not like you're, like you said, you're not just sitting there doing nothing and anything along those lines. You know, even if you're like, okay, like, man, I talked to so-and-so or I heard this today. And instead of, obviously if it's late at night, you're not going out in the woods to, put a trail camera at 10 o'clock at night, unless you're, you know, Johnny Stewart that does that stuff. But like, you know, you just hop on Onyx or whatever, and just, you know, spend a couple minutes looking at that, drop some waypoints. And maybe if the next time you have a minute to, you know, you do have an afternoon free and it's might be cool or raining, you go out there and do that. You know what I mean? Like that's where, you know, that's where you could, like you said, keep them mentally, you know, up on that upward and not trending down, you know. And that's,
yeah,
you know, and yeah. That's the beauty of like, even going back to like Johnny does what Johnny could do, because he's able to, like with his job and everything like that, sometimes like for guys like that, like that's their only time. And he knows his woods like the back of his hand. So he's able to go out and do that. Whereas like, I'm not going to be able to go do that on public land somewhere. You know what I mean? Like he knows his area. So hell, if he knows his camera's only a couple hundred yards and he wants to put a headlamp on, like, so be it, let him go do it. But you know, that might be his time that he's only able to do that. So I'm with you though, man. Like I want to have a couple new areas, like, but at the time right now, I don't have that time where I could really, I think, dissect something and try to do that. So I'm kind of going off of past history / like, mainly just past history. I mean, there's nothing else
history
I could.
History and experience.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, history, I mean, and experience. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I mean, a lot of the new areas that I've been successful in, it's usually me stepping foot in there the first time during the season with a bow in hand. So, and I kind of rely on that anymore with new areas. Like, yeah, I may have some areas I'd like to see, or, you know, we talked about just glassing from the vehicle and stuff and picking up good bucks. Like, I don't necessarily feel like I need to get cameras in there if I know this buck is using this area. Now it's just a matter of, you know, let them lay down some sign and then let me pick the right weather and get in there, find the sign and see what happens.
Right.
And that's been successful and I'm comfortable with that. I think when it comes to the mental preparation piece of it, like if you are at like a low, I think that carries into the tree stand as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lonely at the top, right?
Yep.
So if mentally you're not, you don't have the strength there, then you're going to talk yourself out of a lot of different things. And the biggest thing that you're going to talk yourself out of is just time in the stand. You're not going to feel like you want to be there. Yeah. And I've been there. I think I had two hunts last year where, you know, I didn't even climb the tree. And I think one hunt I did climb the tree and end up climbing back down and just leaving, you know, and it was for a multitude of reasons. But, I think you got to be nice to yourself. So what you tell yourself is going to carry through. So whatever you could do to kind of keep up that motivation, to carry yourself through the season, you know, you'll be your best self then.
How much of the fitness do you think has helped with that?
I think it helps a lot. Like, I think mental and physical health are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like when you're physically healthy, like it's hard not to be mentally healthy. But I do think I do think the mental health plays. It's not all just, you know, if you're in shape, you're just going to be mentally healthy.
Right. I'm with you. Yep.
But I definitely think it helps. Just because your body's happy, you know.
Yep.
If your body's happy, it's easier for the mind to be happy. So, and I know you've really have turned it on. Like I've been kind of in like a 2-year progress of being extremely dedicated. But I know you've really, after, I think it was probably right after deer season, like right at the turn of the year, you were like, yeah, I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was good to be able to have, it's good to have good friends that you could bounce stuff off of and be a rock both on both sides of that coin too, like on the physical side and on the mental side.
Yeah.
And Jim's the same way. I mean, Jim's been kicking the crap out of his HIIT workouts. And I remember us all talking and it's like, Jim, you got to start moving some weight. And he called me the one day. He's like, I'm so glad I listened to you guys. Like, everything has changed since he's been like, you know, just changed his normal routine a little bit.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it's not much, but man, like what you were saying, it's even the, like for me, what I notice is if I'm not, if I'm not exercising, or if I did not get my workout in yet, and I know it's coming or something along those lines, like I'm okay. But if there's like a day where I know I should have, like I needed to get it in, and for whatever reason, like I maybe did not at that point in time, like I see a correlation of my attitude, like 100%, and my family does. And that's why, like at this point in time, they're so supportive of it, not because they're like, oh, we just don't want you to be a dick. Like, it's not that. It's just they see, like, especially like for me now, like, dude, I know I've said this now a couple times, but like waking up earlier and getting my workout in super early before everybody's like really up and at them, it's not because it sounds cool. It's because now I'm able to do so much more shit and be present compared to where it might be, you know, like, oh, I really should be finally trimming the bushes and the shrubs around the landscaping type stuff. But instead, like, I'm going to work out. Like, yeah, that'd be nice, but I need to do this. Right. Or now it's like, hey, we got to go here. Or, hey, I need you to watch. Or like, hey, like, let's do something as a family. Like, hey, let's go to Black Meshannon, to the, you know, the man-made beach and do something for today. Like, that's great. Whereas like in years past, I know if I wanted to work out or something, I'd be like, well, what do you, you know what I mean? And it's all done. And mentally, dude, it's a huge part, and it really does play a key role. And like you said, having our group that we all are all in this, like kind of, you know, cornerly together in a sense, it is huge. I mean, that is such a big thing for us. And I love that we're all on that same page for that.
I agree. So I've noted, like you asked me about the physical and the mental health relationship. And I note, like at the beginning of the year, I had a couple goals set for the first half of my year. But one of the goals was, now I was already going consistently 3 to 4 times a week, working out. And when the first of the year came, I wanted to be in the gym minimum 100 times in the first 4 months. So by the end of April, I wanted 100 sessions in the gym. Mm-hmm. And no matter what that meant, and I saw myself, like, discipline and routine was everything. Now, sometimes, most days I was getting to the gym, you know, right after work. But then I saw myself some nights where I was 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night. And it was like, I gotta go. I had that goal in my mind.
Yep.
And I wasn't going to miss the 100 days. And I ended up at, I think, 104, 105 by the end of April. And then once May came and I pretty much, quote unquote, met that goal, I didn't make another goal. But then May came and it was turkey season. And I was back to that probably like 3 to 4 days. And I did see a dip just in everything, like you said, like not showing up or maybe a little irritable with certain things or whatever it is. And then come end of May, I ended up having an injury. Like, so I was boxing last fall and I felt like I did something to my shoulder. And then through all these times in the gym, it was progressively getting worse. And at some point you just push it too far. Mm-hmm. And I got to a point where it was like, all right, I need to stop. Like, my shoulder's injured. So now it's like, what can I do that doesn't drive your shoulder? And try working out without using your shoulder. Like, it's a big part. So I ended up getting work done on it, like just through a chiropractor and everything. And he's putting everything back into place. And he's like, yeah, you're done for like a month. It's like, oh my God. You know, so now this is basically all of June. Like, he's telling me I can't do anything in the gym. And I saw my mental health like get even worse, because now I was still going to the gym. Like, I was roughly around 3 days a week, and I was basically just doing core, a little bit of stuff. I was trying to rebuild strength in the shoulder. But I didn't have the motivation like I had before. And then I started disciplining myself, like, okay, if you're not going to go to the gym today, you're going to go run 5 miles. Mm-hmm. So then that's how I was like punishing myself. Like, all right, you want to be lazy, not go to the gym, go out and run 5 miles. And whether that 5 miles happened at, you know, right after work, or that 5 miles happened at 10 o'clock at night, it didn't matter. Like, that was my discipline to just, you know, this is what you get for not going to the gym. You got to do something. You want to stay active. You don't want to go backwards. So, you know, it was working my legs and my core for the most part for that month. And then finally he cleared me right at the end of June. So now I've been trying to get back to that 5+ days a week. I got 2 days worth of hockey, so they're basically my rest cardio days, whatever you want to call them. So I'm back to that 5 days. And like, now I see like the mental health piece of it is coming back together. You know, my focus at work is much better. Like, I'm much more productive in the work that I'm putting out at work. So then that goes a long way in your career and financially and everything else. So it does play a big role in it. And the biggest thing that I've seen just to do this, like, you have to be disciplined on the diet end too. So I noticed when my workouts were slipping because, you know, of the injury and just overall in life, and you know, you just go through these periods, my diet was slipping a little bit too. So I had to get all that back on track as well, and get the diet put together and make time to make meals and do all that all over again.
Yeah. Dude, and it goes into everything then. Like you said, like, once you get back into the swing of things and you feel so much better and you're like, okay, I did this, and then that transfers over into your work life balance, and that transfers over into your hunting life balance, and that transfers over in your friendship balance. Like, it just does everything, and you start seeing little snippets of it starting in maybe smaller doses, and then it creeps up and there's more dosage of it and everything. And it's just, I don't know, I'm the same way. Like, for me, now that school's out, where I'm not capable of like being on my feet, say, all day, and I'm still doing like hit a minimum step goal, hit a minimum of calorie burn, like whatever it says like on my fitness watch. And I know that's not the end all be all, but like I have those, and there was like maybe 2 days so far this summer, and it was because we were traveling and I just didn't have it, the capability to burn everything. But like the one time when we got home from somewhere, I was like, hey, I'm just going to do a quick little like circuit in out here. And it was like perfect. It was like just a 25 minute. I needed to move because I sat all damn day from driving. You know what I mean? So it was like something along those lines. But like I've noticed, it's like, dang, I'm not doing as much cardio as I was, and I felt great. Like turkey season, like when we hiked up to the top, like Josh was like, holy shit. And I was like, yeah, dude, that's Stairmaster. You know what I mean? Like I didn't think I broke a sweat. Whereas now I'm starting to run. You know what I mean? So now, now I'm like, okay, I don't have that, but you have all this area around you to run, put a pack on, add some weight to it, and go do and go move. So, that's what I was like saying last week. I'm going to test it out a little bit and just see, could I, and honestly, I think I'm going to do is, maybe switch some things up. And I know I just said it on the podcast last week where I might get up early, do the cardio, and then later on lift up when the baby goes down for her nap. But I think what I'm going to try to do is that only on like leg day. So I do have that window. So like, I still might just get up, lift, and then after I'm done lifting, go do that cardio. Because if I get outside and get moving and grooving pretty early, and I'm not dragging my feet and doing stupid shit, then I should have enough time. Like, for example, today I was back at home maybe 10 after 7, and that was after doing 3 miles and already trained. Like, I already lifted, already did the 3 miles, and I was back home and I had a cup of coffee for the wife in bed and bottle in the baby's mouth. Like, it was like, you couldn't picture it. Like, it was just dynamite. Do you know what I mean? And it was like, okay, I got the rest of the day to do whatever. Everybody's happy, 'cause I'm already done working out, and now I just got to make sure I'm still awake later on.
I noticed that, like, when certain aspects of your life become routine, like, so when like like we're talking about the physical part of your life right now, it's become a routine where it's like, I need to make time for this. And here's the time I'm going to make for it. It opens the door to kind of work on other parts of your life. Then like, I noticed, like, yeah, I set all these goals in the beginning of the year. Like I want to do this, this and that. And, you know, after accomplishing all these goals, it's like, I didn't reset new goals for the year. So what I've been doing is like, okay, now I'm in this routine. So now it's like these daily goals. Like I keep a running list of like things that I want to do or need to do. And some of them are time sensitive and some aren't. You know, it might be like, I'm going to, you know, I'll put on the list, like, all right, I'm going to do laundry, or I'm going to meal prep, or I'm going to do this or that. Or it might just be, I need to call this guy. Like one of my best friends is going through a rough time. Like I need to make a phone call. And like, maybe I don't do it that day, but I keep it on the list and it's like, I'm going to make time for this. And then like, other aspects, I think, or values in your life tend to grow because you've set things in a routine and you've kind of set expectations for yourself of what's expected.
All right, everybody. I really, really am sorry about cutting this one off right here at this point because my memory card filled up and I made a rookie mistake after doing this for almost 6 years. And I did not look at my Rodecaster Duo and did not notice. There were a couple other things that Tim obviously was finishing talking about here about those little small daily challenges and expectations and just goals that he sets forth and how they kind of come about. And since he didn't really change up those goals, from last year. And I really liked this discussion. And Tim, I apologize, man, that I didn't catch this and didn't even realize my memory card was that full. But I'm glad this was kind of like the end and wrap up of our conversation, because basically I asked him then I was like, hey, to wrap it up, what are your goals for this weekend? And basically to kind of summarize what Tim was saying was he was up at camp. And Josh doing so much work. We greatly appreciate everything that he's done. Tim wanted to get some stuff done, but he wants to get on that backside and where he mainly hunts, and he has that blind. He has a couple things he needs to get out of there. He needs to get his heater that was back there. We talked about just some other things that we really want to do up at camp as far as maybe putting in some water holes and maybe a couple more cameras on the backside and returning some people's property that trespassed on us, that type of stuff. And that's where we wrapped it up and we discussed about getting together. And so there was only maybe 4-5 more minutes left of this conversation, but I'll do better. I apologize, everybody. Still, it's funny you do this for so long and you still make these dumbass mistakes, but I apologize for that one. And I appreciate Tim so much. I appreciate our friendship and I appreciate you taking the time to listen and tune in weekly. If you like what you hear, I really appreciate it if you go leave a review anywhere and share it with your friends, share it with your family. Thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next week. Antler up.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task. Unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.